Hi, this is Kyle Bauer with Plain Talk with the girl that doesn't go for a walk all that often because she's afraid of being hit by an airplane, Jamie Bloom.
You know, I won't say that it happens when I'm outside walking, but have you ever been in like an upper room of your home? And I'm thinking like in the night, maybe when the LifeStar helicopter comes in. Uh-huh. And it just feels like it's just getting closer and closer and closer. And you always think to yourself, gosh, I hope that isn't on its way down and it's going to crash right into my house.
Never, ever occurs
to me.
It never
crosses your mind.
No.
Well, this
it crosses my mind is to run outside and see if I can see it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm talking like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, you know 2 o'clock in the morning, you know what I'm doing? Sleeping. Yeah.
Well, I'm not always sleeping. In a terrifying turn of events, a private plane did crash into a walking path near the Delaware County Regional Airport in Muncie, Indiana. It injured two pedestrians and the pilot. The victims were taking a leisurely walk when the aircraft just plummeted from the sky and collided with the tree line surrounding the trail.
Oh, that was a small plane just in the last week.
Yeah, it just happened very long ago.
Yeah, I saw that. The guy was like 70, maybe I'm mixing it up. No, I think I might have been. Is this the one, it was an experimental plane, or did it say?
It doesn't say.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, there was one that just in the last week that the guy built himself. He built the plane himself. He was like 75 or 6 mm-hmm. years old. He had flown it twice before. Everything went okay. And then he just got up maybe 300 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it just goes boom. So I think it might be the same one. So, so everybody out there walking, it's not as good for your health as you think it is.
I know. You have to be careful. Well, okay, along the same line. A sizable object fell from the sky and ripped through the roof of a Florida home recently. The bizarre incident caught the attention of NASA. The nearly 2-pound object is believed to have originated from the International Space Station. So it's space junk.
And yet it fell in Florida.
Fell in Florida.
That's coincidental.
It was part of a cargo pallet that missed its reentry window and then was jettisoned from the ISS. In 2021, this happened in 2021, but this story I just saved this week, so it must have just... NASA has now retrieved the debris and will be analyzing it to determine its precise
origin. I'm sorry, they jettisoned it in 2021, it just fell this week?
Apparently, because I just saved
this
story just in the last couple of days.
Well, they didn't get the angle right on that.
I guess not. Most of the material is expected to have disintegrated upon reentry. Into the Earth's atmosphere. The remainder caused significant damage to the home. Authorities are working to establish whether the responsible agency for the object is NASA, which would make them liable for the damages.
Okay.
So these folks might get some
And if it's
compensation
somebody else, they won't get compensation?
Well, I don't know. If they can't track where it came from,
you know,
how
it's
can
kind
they
of
hold
funny.
Anybody liable?
Have you ever read your homeowner's policy? What they'll pay for and what they won't.
Well, I thought I had, but...
Well, I mean, they're really very complex. I mean, I know the one here at the radio station is 300 and some pages. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's technical jargon, but you'll see a line in there, something like, oh, and we don't pay for junk falling from outer space.
Yeah.
And you think, well, I don't care about that.
That's never going to happen.
That's never going to happen.
That's probably what those people thought. That's never going to happen.
And then they called their insurance agent, and he goes, right here on page 52, line 7, says mm-hmm. we don't pay for this.
Yeah. Well, and this kind of goes back to the discussion we had a week ago. It's like when something falls on your property, does it become your property?
Because they could have at least sold that mm-hmm. in order to... We were talking just last night, a friend and I, about the Space Museum, what's it called, in Hutchinson. Anyway, how good it is.
It's great, yeah.
It is just amazing that here in the middle part of the country, mm-hmm. in a reasonably sized city, you can have that kind of a collection.
Really, it's a collection. It's a good way to say it. Zane had his birthday party there one year. We took a group of kids down, and it was fun. Yeah, we really enjoyed it.
And a lot of them are the original stuff. They aren't models of the original stuff. The mm-hmm. original stuff, and they're right here in Hutchinson, Kansas. I know it came up that on a person's bucket list I was visiting with, he he wanted to see the Air and Space Museum, the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum in Washington. And I said, oh, it is. It's great. And the Smithsonians I've been to, I mean, I would recommend that one highly. But I said, you know, have you been to the one in Hutchinson? And he said he had. But that is just amazing that we have that available to us. And it's relatively inexpensive.
Oh, yeah. And,
And for people my age, I mean, you lived through this entire era of space exploration. And they actually have the original space capsules that we didn't even go all the way around the Earth in. One of them was retrieved from the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
And
I remember seeing some of that. Caleb and I were just fascinated.
Oh,
and of course, the kids were, but maybe didn't understand the caliber of what they were seeing.
No, I think it's people
But they also had really fun things for the kids, too. And in fact, even like a little show every once in a while, you could, you know, go in and watch the show for kids. But Caleb and I were just like, wow, look what they have.
In my opinion, it's made for people 40 and up. Because the little the little kids and the young people don't appreciate it because it's like, you know, I read about this.
The Cosmosphere.
That's what it's called. There you go.
Well, then, then you can go in and they have the space show where you kind of lay back in the seats and they and it's like the whole ceiling.
Right.
That was really cool, too.
Yeah.
But then they actually also had like a guy that stood up and did like experiments.
Okay.
For the kids. And I felt like they kind of had something for all ages. And that's what made it fun for us to go. But yeah, the Cosmosphere in Hutchinson, Kansas, it is a very. And they did the simulator. They had a simulator too that you could get in. And it simulated being in space.
Okay.
That was really cool. It was a fun day and definitely worth.
Yeah, and it's right here
time.
In the central part of our state.
Yeah.
So it's like, and so.
Our daughter was going to school there, and that was kind of what made us think, you know, we need to go do that sometime. And so we worked that out. But speaking of the moon and space, it says the White House has tasked NASA with establishing a new time standard for the moon by 2026. Have you heard this story?
No.
It'll be called Coordinated Lunar Time. Or LTC, which doesn't make sense. Coordinated Lunar Time, LTC, is set to become the official time reference for lunar missions, marking a significant step in the evolving space exploration landscape.
I just can't get my mind around that whole about the moon going around the Earth and the Earth going around the sun, what time it is and that sort of thing. And how fast things spin around out there. And so
It'll be a whole separate time. It'll be
I guess the reason that would be important is because if you had, let's say, Moscow on the other side of the Earth and us, and it's like, okay, we're going to coordinate this experiment at 1 o'clock.
Right.
1 o'clock, whose time?
Whose time? So if you have LTC time, then everybody's
then
on the
everybody
same
knows.
Page. The directive calls for collaboration between NASA and various government departments to implement LTC effectively, ensuring seamless coordination in future lunar missions. This initiative aligns with the broader goal of establishing common principles for space exploration among international partners. Like you just said, if you are coordinating something with another country, then...
And I'll remind everybody that the way we got time zones wasn't the government, it was the railroads. Because they had basically every town set its own time. There was no nuclear clocks or anything. So there was somebody, and it was probably the local manager of the railroad depot, he kept the time for the town. Well, and so the plane or the train left Clay Center at noon, and it got to Morganville at 12:10. But the only one who knew if that was on time or not was that guy, because and if his clock was off a little bit, and then if they went long distances, then they would be really fouled up. And then you had multiple railroads going in the same direction, and they all had different times. So that's why they had to set up the time zones, if you will, and it was all done by private industry, and everybody else adapted it.